Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena Lara.
Morena from good old Otipoti, Dunedin.
How are you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Lovely weather this week. Absolute beautiful weather.
Can't beat it on good day, eh?
That's the wrong city, Mel.
No, I reckon Dunners, it counts too.
Dunners is a beautiful place. Good old Otipoti. Thank you for making the time for a corridor. We're going to delve in and talk a little bit about Prime Minister Christopher Luxon's comments on the soaring prison population. So Luxon said it's a good thing because he thinks it's the he is acknowledging the financial implication of restoring law and order in New Zealand, is what he said. But I'm interested as to your thoughts on how strong the correlation between high prison populations and a reduction in crime actually is.
Yeah, this is one of those kind of areas where you have to have a really good, well-prepared answer when you're the Prime Minister or when you're a Minister or an MP. Another one's sort of house prices. Because in this sort of area, you know, like there's things that you kind of have to say. You've got to tread this line between saying, you know, you're in crime, but then also you're keeping an eye on the cost, because it costs a lot to imprison someone fundamentally. And so, yeah, it's a hard line for someone like him to tread. And kind of feeling positive about it's probably not quite the right balance there, I would say, overall. So I had a PhD student, Luke Oldfield, who did his PhD on the kind of politics of these sorts of topics and penal populism and sort of all around the world where different governments had kind of campaigned on, even kind of campaigned on having fewer prisoners just on the basis of saving costs. That was a really interesting piece. And of course we know that kind of in the politics of Aotearoa New Zealand there's also the sort of abolish prisons kind of decarceration movement. So I thought he struck a good balance there. But I mean, National are really trying to hammer home that they're hard on crime. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys are getting the targeted ads. I think I'm probably getting the targeted ads given I'm an urban woman in my late 30s who's probably profiled to be a swing voter, so I'm getting quite a lot of targeted ads about National being hard on crime. So it's fitting their border rhetoric in quite a difficult sort of area to try to balance in.
It's also coming at, I mean, these comments are coming at a really tricky time because obviously we've had all of the police dramas unfolding, and so I wonder if Luxon's being overly positive to try and paint a bit of a rosy picture of what might actually be a bit of a shambles.
Yeah, that's a kind of interesting take and something they totally could be doing, because, I mean, if you think that if people have a greater distrust in the police, and, you know, we have seen, you know, these recent scandals being some of the worst scandals. I saw a news item this morning, for example, being like, the top 10 worst scandals of all time and how the mixed skimming one fits. It's like, So if we have that kind of backdrop of the police and of failings of different people high up in the police, then yeah, potentially trying to steady the boat, so to speak, trying to make things kind of seem steady and all together and sorted. I can see, yeah, that he would be somewhat motivated to do that, again, to show that he's a good governor of people, he's a good leader, and he's kind of got the ship steadied in a lot of places.
Okay. National seems to talk a really big game about this big, and I'm doing air quotes here, restoring law and order. But, I mean, what does that even look like for New Zealand? It's in ways quite vague.
Yeah, so in terms of like this whole idea of populism that's kind of sweeping the world, when it comes to populism in different areas, you kind of say, hey, simple solutions are the answer, rather than maybe looking at the big, complex, multifaceted problem that is, you know, various poverty, colonization, various other factors leading to someone to, you know, commit crime and then enter the justice system, and then that maybe end up with them being incarcerated. So that's quite a big, complicated topic. And generally, when you're a politician, you want to distill things down to simple sound bites, because that's our system now. It's not Luxon's fault that it's our system, but that's our system. And so you have to try to figure out how you can get those snappy messages across. And yeah, we've also seen National spend money on advertising, which they can do legally between election campaigns to kind of show their record on being hard on crime. And I think some people will also be getting some ads around the economy improving. So they have to really kind of fixate to some degree on these issues and try to hammer home, because we've seen the latest Ipsos Issues Monitor poll, which has shown that Labor's leading in a lot of issues that are facing the country. And that's really not good a year out from an election when you're the incumbent, when you're one term in. So really trying to focus on law and order, which is an area where they could make some leeway, and the economy is those sort of big drivers, given that, you know, polls often show that those are at the top of the list. And, yeah, they do have some stats that have improved over their term in government around law and order too.
Mm. It is interesting, though, like, the sort of priorities being law and order and also fixing the economy for National, but those two things feel as though they almost contradict one another when having high prison populations cost so much.
Yeah, it does cost a lot, and it's also a little bit... The other thing that's been a real kind of National Party vision has been social investment theory. So back in the day, Bill English was a real proponent of this, and Nicola Willis has kind of taken up this mantle, and we've seen the National Party create the Social Investment Agency twice. And again now, they've changed it from the Social Wellbeing Agency to the Social Investment Agency. And they focus on, you know, social investment, which is this idea that you could invest a lot of money in someone when they were young, make sure that they get adequate access to, you know, health services, housing, bits and pieces that will help their well-being, and that will lead to them not getting incarcerated down the line. So that's another kind of key policy for National, and something that obviously that's a 10, 20-year kind of effect type policy, but it also kind of potentially contradicts that a bit when you could spend that money that you spend on imprisoning someone on, you know, maybe their kids, that would be social investment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of, we talked briefly before about the sort of need to make it short and snappy, and in terms of populism, and that's how we sort of get hung up on slogans like tough on crime. What do you make of the Labor Party's sort of comments and approach to crime? Because I know that Chris Hipkins has responded to these comments of Luxonne.
Yeah, so I think we can generally expect from this version of the Labor Party now is to be not kind of tried to be viewed as too kind of soft or too woke. I think that they've really taken that to heart in some way. And everyone's been like going, oh, well, what are they going to do in response? And I don't know, like, that's what I think we'll see. But also some kind of middle of the road type responses. I think that's kind of what we can expect from Labor, I think, across this election campaign and across Hipkins' leadership. I mean, we kind of saw that when they did the girl policy bonfire when he came in as Prime Minister as well. I think that's the broader thing that we can see there. And of course, he's not going to want to seem too soft, but then he also doesn't want to put off a lot of his kind of more left-wing voters.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for the rest of this term of the National government, because I know that they're getting a little bit under the pump with their goal for 500 extra police, which hasn't happened yet, and they're trying to sort of downplay that a bit.
Yeah, so the other thing that has kind of happened in the last little while is Nicola Willis, I think she appeared on something and said, we're about 12 months out from the election. So that's something that, I mean, if she's saying that, we should probably listen, because by convention, the Prime Minister chooses when the election is, and by convention they normally announce at the end of January. So it's looking like it's going to be a late one. It's looking like they're going to make the road. The metaphor have enough runway to run, to have the economy potentially improve in this time. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for them to go later, given their polling, rather than go early and risk losing. Because if they had an election sooner, we kind of know what the likelihood of them winning would be. It'd probably be a bit lower. So I think they're just going to want it to go longer and hope that the economy improves and that Labor or the Greens or Te Pāti Māori or someone has some gaffes and they can kind of, run a longer campaign.
Fascinating. Well, thank you so much, Lara, for joining us for a Kōrero. Always great to hear your two cents on the bonfire.
Also the political New Zealand Political Studies Association conference today at Otago University.
So, excellent.
More great takes after.
Go you. Wait to hear how it all goes. And we'll catch up with you on our new day for political commentary starting next week, Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, I'll be back by then, back at my desk.
Can't wait. Yeah. Thanks, Lara.
Thanks, Lara. Bye.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.